This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
New abortion rules for hospitals. Good morning, I'm Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino on this Tuesday, July 12th. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Federal Health Department says hospitals must provide abortions in emergency situations.
The January 6th committee this afternoon will highlight the way violent far-right extremists answered Donald Trump's siren call to come to Washington for a big rally.
A Parkland dad cuts off President Biden at a White House event to celebrate new gun laws.
And burned by canceled flights, some business travelers are getting behind the wheel.
They planned a trip to the Caribbean. There were 150 people flying in from all over the world for this corporate meeting, and 15% of the people were affected by canceled and delayed flights.
Allison Poley of the Wall Street Journal will be here in about 20 minutes with that story. Federal health officials say doctors and hospitals must provide an abortion under federal law when a pregnant woman in emergency medical condition needs a procedure to be stabilized. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Health and Human Services Department says a federal law protecting access to emergency treatment mandates performing an abortion if a doctor deems it necessary in a medical emergency, even if the procedure isn't legal under state law. In new guidance to hospitals and doctors, the health department says the Federal Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act preempts state law restricting abortion. The department issued the guidance for performing abortions under the federal law in a bid to clarify for doctors and hospitals struggling to reconcile state laws restricting abortions with federal rules, which can require the procedure to stabilize certain patients. Jen.
Thanks, Mike. Meanwhile, a state court judge in Utah has blocked a sweeping new abortion ban from taking effect following the Supreme Court's ruling last month. A judge in Salt Lake City ruled that the ban must remain on hold while Planned Parenthood pursues a legal challenge. Currently, even states with the most stringent bans on abortion do allow exceptions when the health of a mother is at risk. Though, as Melanie Evans of the Wall Street Journal tells us, the threat of prosecution has created confusion for some doctors. Melanie, take us through the central conflict involving doctors here when it comes to state laws versus federal laws on abortion.
So, some state laws that are in effect or soon will be following the Supreme Court ruling to overturn Roe v. Wade, restrict abortions except in very limited circumstances. So some states say that abortions are banned with the exception to save a woman's life. There is a federal law that protects access to emergency care in a hospital. It's known by the acronym EMTALA. And EMTALA goes further. EMTALA protects access to emergency care in circumstances where someone's health is in jeopardy, and that can include when they are at risk of impairment to bodily function or organ dysfunction, and a hospital must stabilize those patients. And what that means, according to doctors and attorneys that I spoke to, was that there may be circumstances in which a pregnant woman is experiencing complications related to the pregnancy where the hospital would be required under EMTALA to provide stabilizing treatment that would include an abortion. And it may be in conflict with those state laws that say you can only provide an abortion to save a woman's life.
How often could this type of situation come up in a hospital?
So for every 100,000 live births in the United States, there are about 24 women who will die of pregnancy-related complications, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data. Now, these figures are higher for Black women and Native American and Alaska Native women. So when a woman comes to an emergency room with a pregnancy-related complication, there are certain circumstances in which doctors I spoke with said they would need to act in order to prevent, you know, serious bodily impairment or organ dysfunction or to save a woman's life. And those can be conditions in which a woman is severely bleeding and her cervix is dilated in early pregnancy. It could be an ectopic pregnancy, which is something that occurs when the fertilized egg implants outside of the uterus. It can also be circumstances in which this sort of protective sac around the fetus ruptures extremely early. And so those are the types of circumstances that might bring a woman into the emergency room where a doctor would evaluate them for risk of a really severe hemorrhage or infection that could develop and threaten her life.
We're speaking with Melanie Evans of the Wall Street Journal. Melanie, what are hospitals and doctors doing to resolve these conflicts and to make sure they stay on the right side of the law?
So what I heard from attorneys and doctors was that hospitals are forming or have internal teams that can include lawyers and doctors and ethicists who are trying to understand the state laws and trying to understand the circumstances in which doctors might raise questions. Doctors are asking questions themselves of attorneys, but what I consistently heard was that there is still a lot of uncertainty around what kind of legal exposure a doctor might have when taking action.
One doctor in Oklahoma City you quoted said that in practice, you have to pick up the phone and call an attorney before we take care of a woman. Hard to fathom, but if you're talking about jail time for making the wrong decision, this could be the reality, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing that a lot of people I spoke with talked to was, you know, was that, you know, doctors have hanging over them, depending on the law, some pretty severe consequences. So in some states, it is, they face criminal prosecution. That criminal prosecution could come with jail or prison time, excuse me, up to 10 years. It could be fines of up to $100,000. And in some states, they could see their license suspended or revoked.
Thanks, Melanie. Melanie Evans of the Wall Street Journal. A man whose son was killed in the 2018 school shooting in Parkland, Florida, interrupted President Biden's remarks at the White House yesterday during an event to herald the passage of the first major federal gun safety law in three decades. Manuel Oliver, whose son Joaquin was murdered in the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School massacre, shouted, "We've already gone through this for years and years," at the event, during which Biden lauded the new law but said more needs to be done.
Let me finish my comment. Let him talk. No one, okay? Because make no mistake about it. This legislation is real progress, but more has to be done.
The incident underscores the difficulty Biden has had in addressing the problem of gun violence. Advocates for stronger gun safety laws see him as an ally, but want him to do more to stop the stream of gun-related deaths that have become a part of daily life in the U.S. Earlier in the day, Biden used the gathering of lawmakers and gun safety activists to herald a rare bipartisan agreement on the issue and call again for a ban on assault weapons. He said the country is awash in weapons of war.
Dell's Black Friday in July sale is here. Power productivity with a tech refresh, now with up to 45% off top-rated laptops like the XPS, along with our special deals on business desktops with Intel Core processors. Get big savings on the latest servers, storage, monitors, and more with free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Jennifer Koshinka in for Gordon Deal. Be sure to follow us on social media, including our newly updated Instagram page. We're at This Morning with Gordon Deal. About 4 days after a wildfire started in Yosemite National Park, firefighters in California have begun to contain the blaze, which has threatened some of the oldest giant sequoia trees in the world. The park's Mariposa Grove, home to over 500 giant sequoias, has been closed since Friday. The community of Wawona, which is located in the park and includes Wawona Hotel and a camp campground was evacuated. The rest of the park remains open. Incident Management Team spokesman Robbie Johnson says firefighters have set up sprinklers in an attempt to protect giant sequoias, such as the one named the Grizzly Giant, which is around 3,000 years old.
There's a sprinkler system, and we have our crews had come out here and turned it all on and really got this a nice soak. So we're pretty confident that if the fire comes in, we have a good defense here.
With their thick bark, giant sequoias have coexisted for millennia with lightning spark fires that maintain the health of redwood forests. Experts say drought-stressed sequoias today have grown vulnerable to more frequent bouts of extreme wildfire activity, symptomatic of human-caused climate change. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
On the south lawn of the White House, President Biden hosted hundreds of Americans impacted by gun violence for a ceremony touting the recent passed gun safety law. But Biden called for further reform, including a ban on assault rifles like the one used in several recent mass shootings.
That's what we owe those families in Buffalo, where a grocery store became a killing field. It's what we owe those families in Uvalde, where an elementary school became a killing field. That's what we owe those families in Highland Park, where on July 4th, a parade became a killing field.
So far this year, there have been at least 333 mass shootings in America.
Number two.
Today, the House committee investigating the January 6th riot at the Capitol will hold another public hearing. It's expected to focus on connections between former President Donald Trump's administration and far-right extremist groups. According to committee aides, today's presentation will show Trump allegedly grew desperate and summoned the mob to Washington, D.C. in his attempts to overturn the 2020 election.
Number three.
The family of Jaylen Walker has announced plans for a public funeral Wednesday in Walker's hometown of Akron, Ohio. The 25-year-old black man was unarmed when he was shot more than 60 times and killed by police last month following a car and foot chase. The family's attorney has also denounced what he called excessive tactics, including the use of tear gas against people protesting the fatal shooting. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the White House has evidence Iran is preparing to supply Russia with military aid to support its invasion of Ukraine.
Our information indicates that the Iranian government is preparing to provide Russia with up to several hundred UAVs, including weapons-capable UAVs, on an expedited timeline.
Sullivan adds that as soon as this month, Iran is preparing to train Russian forces on how to operate those drones. It comes as Ukraine says it's amassing a fighting force of 1 million soldiers to reclaim southern and eastern regions occupied by Russia. And it's an unprecedented glimpse into our cosmic past. NASA has released the first color image captured by the James Webb Space Telescope, humanity's most powerful telescope. The image shows thousands of bright galaxies, some a bright white, others a faint speck of red. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson says those galaxies are as old as it gets.
Since we know the universe is 13.8 billion years old, we're going back almost to the beginning.
Later this morning, NASA will release the full batch of photos from the Webb telescope.
This stuff blows my mind. I can't even, like, fathom what's happening.
Is there life out there in one of those thousands of galaxies? That's a question they were asking yesterday.
We may find out. Thanks, Dom.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
It's been a rough summer for air travelers, which is leading some business travelers to change plans and hit the road. Allison Pulley of the Wall Street Journal is here with more. Allison, what are meeting and conference organizers doing to deal with last-minute changes?
They are accounting for cancellation and delays when it comes to people who are traveling by air. So some companies are allowing travelers to drive 5 to 7 hours for business meetings, whereas before they might have suggested flying. And conference organizers are making sure that keynote speakers aren't presenting on the first day to account for delays. Instead, they're moving those important sessions to day two or three.
Allison, who did you talk to for your story, and what are some examples of what's been happening?
I talked to business travelers as well as corporate event planners. And so in one instance, I was speaking to the CEO of Paragon Events, which is a corporate event company based in Florida. And they mentioned that they planned a trip to the the Caribbean. There were 150 people flying in from all over the world for this corporate meeting, and 15% of the people were affected by canceled and delayed flights, which meant that the company had to scramble to find last-minute hotels to rebook the flights, and people were missing the event they had traveled for. So the staff were on the phone past 2 a.m. to make sure people weren't stranded. I also talked to a business traveler who missed the beginning of a conference in San Diego earlier this month. So she was supposed to fly to Vancouver and then on to San Diego, but one of her flights was canceled and she had problems booking a new one. So she ended up flying to Los Angeles, driving the rest of the way in a car, and then had a canceled flight on the way back. So the entire trip was a bit difficult.
We're speaking with Allison Poley of the Wall Street Journal. Allison, is it now the feeling that if a trip is going to be 6 or 7 hours in a car, you might as well take the car?
For some travelers, yes, especially when you factor in the time of getting to the airport, waiting for your flight, potentially encountering a delay, and then getting to your destination. Some people are saying it's just easier to have that certainty and control and drive to their destination.
If there's no choice, you've got a very far way to go, or you're going over water or something like that, what are some tips on how you can maybe avoid some of the travel delays in the air?
Yeah, so book a nonstop flight as opposed to having a connection. Early morning flights typically have a much better rate of success than flights later in the day, which can get backed up from delays. And you might also considering traveling the day before an important meeting or even a couple days before just to make sure that you get there in time.
Thanks, Allison. Allison Poley of the Wall Street Journal. It's coming up on 30 minutes past the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
Cutting through the clutter to bring you the people and stories that matter to you. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning, with Gordon Deal.
On this Tuesday, July 12th, Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino. Some of our top stories and headlines: doctors must offer abortion if the mother's life is at risk. The focus of today's January 6th committee hearing will be on the extremists in the mob. Ukraine is digging for survivors in the rubble of residential attacks by Russian missiles. The Wall Street Journal says the PGA Tour is facing an antitrust probe in its dispute with the new LIV Golf Circuit. And who needs stuff when you can have two dogs? That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell's Black Friday and July sale is here with savings on top-rated business computers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. Self-employment is on the rise. Business advisor Carl Gould of Seven Stage Advisors has the story. Carl, more and more of us are going the self-employment route. Can you give us some numbers to illustrate that?
Nearly 33% of the people who have left their jobs and have gotten new jobs are going towards the self-improvement route. This tsunami's been building for a while, and it's the pandemic has accelerated it a bit. But there was a a survey done by Upwork last year that showed that 2 million new people entered the gig workforce, not the traditional employment workforce, but the gig workforce. And so you kind of put those together, and it's a bit of a perfect storm.
What kind of jobs are hottest these days among the self-employed or gig workers?
Here's how it works. So think of it in these categories. Does the job happen on a screen, meaning computer, and is it a recurring task? Is it something that happens over and over again? If it happens on a screen and it happens more than once, it's very possible that that can be done remotely as a project-based employer, so employment. So think of website design, graphic design, outsourced bookkeeping, virtual assistant, executive assistant, phone services, receptionist. The categories go on and on. Accountant, paralegal. I did a virtual notary recently, where rather than going to the bank and getting my signature notarized in person, I did it over Zoom. So if it happens on a screen and it happens more than once, it's heading in that direction. Technology will help it become a remote project-based employment.
You're an entrepreneur yourself. Well, it will depend on the particular field. What are the key things to consider beyond the financial aspect when contemplating starting a business?
Really, can they do the job, and can they do it on a regular enough, on a consistent enough basis? The beauty of remote workers is there's a digital stamp somewhere. So if somebody says to you, I'd love to be your copywriter, I can do that virtually. Well, if you've done it digitally, that means you can send me examples. You can point me right towards a website or a business case or a use case or a study that will show me exactly what you've done. And so as long as the person has the qualifications and they have the proper cybersecurity measures in place, that's another key element here. Do they use a VPN, a virtual private network? Are they do they use double authentication on their side? So as long as they're following best practices as far as cybersecurity, so that way you as the parent company can't get hacked through a vendor, because that's where most of it happens, then you should be okay.
I saw a Forbes story from a couple of years ago. The people who are self-employed are typically happier than traditional workers. Is that due to the control you have over work hours, decision-making, et cetera?
Well, I could see how in certain ways they would be happier. And, having coached tens of thousands of entrepreneurs, though, there's also something downsides that come with being your own boss, and that is you have to market your services, and you have to sell your services, and you have to deal with all of the back-of-the-house administration and finance that every other owner, operator, and self-employed person has to deal with. So if you're okay with that, if you have systems and processes in place and you don't mind doing that part of the business, then you should be fine. That is one of the downsides, because when you're self-employed, you are the chief everything officer. That's what CEO means for in the entrepreneurial world. You're the chief of everything. As long as you're okay with that everything part, then yes, the quality of life can be substantially higher.
Is the self-employment trend going to continue to grow even when we get beyond the pandemic?
Typically, that is the case. Self-employment will rise mostly out of necessity in the beginning, but then in this particular case, technology is really a great friend to the remote worker. And so I think this next wave of self-employed working increase is going to be more sustainable, because technology is going to make it increasingly easier to do it. And so I think you will see a rise in it. However, the pendulum will swing back. Businesses are already learning that to build a great culture, you need people in the same room at the same time often enough in order to get the productivity and the culture of the business where you want it.
Carl Gould of Seven Stage Advisors.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies Advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Mike. Not Mike Gavin. He's back. Time for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know sports fans not only have an allegiance to their teams, but also to the stadiums they play in, which can make the constant changing of names due to corporate sponsorship all the more maddening. One of the better corporate names for soccer stadium was Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, which had been named after the Steel City Condiment Company since it opened over 20 years ago. Not anymore. It was announced on the Steelers' official Twitter account yesterday that Heinz Field will now be known as Acrisure Stadium. As you can imagine, Steelers fans had some things to say about it. For starters, people had trouble figuring out what Acrisure is and does. Now, they appear to be a financial services company based in Michigan, but their Twitter account with only 500 followers was a little vague about that. Many fans were in denial, saying that nobody would ever say that name and they would keep calling it Heinz Field or Old Heinz Field. And one user joked that it was even worse than renaming Heinz Field Hunts Field.
It's always going to be Heinz Field.
I think it is to just about everybody in Pittsburgh, yes.
And it's all about the money. It's hard to believe that Acrisure would pay more for the naming rights than Heinz?
Yeah.
Kraft Heinz?
Yeah, I mean, maybe Heinz is all good. Maybe they're like, you know what, someone else actually joked about that. Like, you know what, maybe they're good. You know, everybody knows about the ketchup at this point, and we're just going to do something else for a little while.
500 followers is a little on the puny side.
Well, they had 500. It's funny. I checked it this morning. They had 500 when this announcement came out. Now they've almost doubled to 900 and something.
All
so
right.
So perhaps it's already paying off the millions that they're spending on this corporate sponsorship.
It's always going
to
be Heinz.
Yeah, and you know, and they just have to wait it out, like, because these things only last usually, 10, 15 years or whatever. So fans just have to kind of wait it out till the next stadium name comes around.
Okay.
And it feels like it's been a minute, Jen, since we've had a good Florida man story, and this one certainly fits that mold. A Sunshine State resident was caught on Saturday after authorities say he tried to outrun law enforcement on a riding lawnmower. And this wasn't the first time the 40-year-old tried to evade capture in an unorthodox manner. Police first tried to speak to the man back in January when they found him in possession of a $40,000 stolen boat. Perhaps sensing that that would not end well for him, the man dove overboard and escaped into a swamp. Flash forward to last weekend, Okaloosa County Sheriff's deputies caught up with the man with arrest warrants in their possession, which is when, according to authorities, he switched a John Deere riding lawnmower into high gear and tried to flee the scene. That escape attempt didn't go as well as the swamp swim back in January, and he was quickly apprehended by deputies. He now faces a slew of charges ranging from grand theft all the way down to drug charges.
All right, the big question here, how fast is high gear on a Deere riding mower?
I don't know, and I'm sure somebody will tell us. You can feel free to tweet at us about that this morning, but I'm not sure myself because I've never done that.
We have seen here at the complex people on riding mowers going not in the grass but down our driveway.
That's true.
And they're going pretty darn fast.
They do move at a pretty decent clip,
but they're not mowing, so
that is true. But yeah, it didn't seem like he lasted, you know, they caught up with him pretty quickly, so it didn't seem like the high gear was all that high for this guy.
I think running would be faster, wouldn't it?
I would hope. For some people, yes. For some others, maybe not.
All right, thanks Mike. Welcome back to the Mic Drop.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Jennifer Kishinga in for Gordon Deal along with Dom Savino. Well, is now a good time to buy a house? No. According to a new survey by Fannie Mae, only 20% of us think now is a time to make one of life's biggest purchases. Consumers surveyed were pessimistic about home buying conditions. Only 20% said it was a good time. 75% said it was a bad time. Sellers were also feeling less optimistic. The percentage of consumers who believe it's a good time to sell fell from 76% in May to 68%. A significant share of consumers said they were worried about the future of the U.S. economy. 81% of those surveyed by Fannie Mae said the economy's on the wrong track, and a plurality of respondents said they thought it would be difficult to get a mortgage for the first time in 7 years. One-fifth of respondents also expressed concerns about job stability in the survey, which was the highest percentage in 18 months. Fannie Mae says the survey's results are consistent with its forecast for a slowing housing market through the rest of this year. It's 8 minutes before the hour. Here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Biden administration says it will aggressively enforce a federal law requiring doctors to provide abortions in emergency situations, including when the mother's health is at risk. Federal health officials say they believe federal law supersedes state law, even in states with strict anti-abortion statutes. It's all an effort to blunt the impact of the Supreme Court's recent decision to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Number two.
Health officials are once again raising alarms about a resurgence of COVID infections across the country. It's being driven by the dominant BA5 subvariant of Omicron. According to the CDC, more than three-quarters of Americans now live in a county with a high or medium COVID risk. In response, the White House is considering whether to expand a second round of booster shots to all adults. Only those over 50 are currently eligible.
Number three.
Wildfires continue to threaten a grove of ancient sequoia trees in California's Yosemite National Park. The Washburn Fire has grown to more than 2,300 acres, but a spokesperson for the incident management team says firefighters' efforts are working.
The fire did get into the grove a little bit, and it didn't get much further. And part of that is because there's been a history of prescribed fire in here to really create a fuel situation where there's not a lot to burn on the ground.
Rescue crews are up to 22% containment on the fire around the Mariposa Grove, home to more than 500 giant sequoia trees that have been around for more than 2,000 years. A federal judge has declined to delay the upcoming trial of Steve Bannon, the former advisor to former President Donald Trump, who faces contempt charges after refusing to cooperate with the House January 6th committee. That ruling comes a day after Bannon announced a last-minute change of heart, reversing months of openly defying a subpoena by saying he was now willing to testify publicly to the committee. And there's a lot to be stressed about nowadays. For those looking for a way to unwind, new research says a great option is grabbing a trowel and getting your hands dirty. Scientists from the University of Florida have found tending to plants can reap mental health benefits. That includes decreased levels of stress, anxiety, and depression. The study also found making art, even doodles and collages, produce similar mental health improvements.
I'm totally on board with that.
Never gardened before in my life, so
I've got a pretty good garden going. Until the squirrels get into it, I should be okay. Thanks, Tom.
Dell's Black Friday in July sale is here. Power productivity with a tech refresh, now with up to 45% off top-rated laptops like the XPS, along with our special deals on business desktops with Intel Core processors. Get big savings on the latest servers, storage, monitors, and more with free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Two helpless dogs in the Middle East faced terrible abuse and almost certain death until two U.S. Navy sailors not only rescued them, but found a way to get them out and on toward a safer, healthier, and far happier life. Married Navy duo Chief Petty Officer Matt Johnson and veteran Corrine Johnson first made the decision to take in the two needy pups, Ruby and Sunny, while the couple were deployed to the Middle East. But the news that they'd be restationed to Japan threatened the family of four's ability to stick together. And Colleen Johnson expressed her intense worry about it in an interview with Fox. With limited resources within the military to transport the two animals to the couple's next duty stations, the Johnsons reached out to the Long Island-based nonprofit Paws of War for immediate help. Paws of War has brought over 300 dogs and cats, all rescued by U.S. troops overseas, to safety in the U.S. since 2014. Familiar with the immense challenges of getting rescue animals out of the Middle East, Paws of War was able to locate a flight to Japan for the dogs over the weekend. That'll do it for this hour. For Dom Savino, I'm Jennifer Kishenka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.